This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. I've been thinking hard about what to talk about this week and thinking primarily of birds and trying to think of a few special birds. But then I thought of the Xerces website, X-E-R-C-E-S, people who love insects and want to promote insects. And of course, that fits right into loving birds because birds are so heavily dependent on good insect populations, especially when they're feeding young. The best food for young birds, from bald eagles to hummingbirds, is insects. I've seen photographs of bald eagles carrying insects to the nest. So I found some articles on the Xerces website that I thought I would read today. Short articles that help us realize what simple things we can do to really help insects. If you drive around from one town to another and look across the landscape, not very much habitat for our native insects available. So the first article I'm going to read, and this is from xerces.org, is from the blog, and it's titled Wildlife on the Rocks, Providing the Rocky Habitats Bugs Need for Shelter. And this was written by Sebastian Echeverry on April 2nd, 2026. What do our human ancestors have in common with the bugs in our backyards? For one thing, they both appreciate the value of a rocky outcropping as a habitat, just as ancient humans or modern-day hiker caught in the rain gathered together by caves and cliff ledges for shelter from the weather. Many bugs rely on rock piles and stone walls as a key part of their habitat. By providing these habitat features in our yards and gardens, we can support a more diverse bug community and get to see them perform some fascinating behaviors too. Just like us, many bugs like a sturdy roof over their heads. Leafcutter bees make nests in the cracks or crevices present in some types of rock. Other tunnel nesting bees, such as some digger bees, use water to soften sandstone and excavate into it. Bumblebees make homes in protected cavities inside rock piles and walls, while ground beetles and numerous other beneficial insects make their homes in gaps or burrows dug out from the soil under a stone. Why are rocks so great as shelter? Rocks are thick and sturdy, so they keep conditions beneath them relatively stable, even during more extreme weather. At high noon on a dry day, the space beneath a rock pile is shaded, cool, and damp. During a rainstorm, bugs huddling in the gaps in a stone wall are likely to stay safe and dry. Even on normal days, rocks give invertebrates a useful way to control their body temperature. We humans can stay at more or less the same temperature all the time, but bugs cool down and heat up depending on their environment. Rocks hold on to heat particularly well, so a stone that's been in sunlight all day will stay warm for quite a while after the sun has fallen low in the sky. I often spot some of my favorite jumping spiders seeking out warm rocks in the late afternoon or early evening. Because they are unlikely to move or break down, many bugs prefer rocks for long-term shelter too. For example, many types of beneficial beetles, like rove beetles, ladybug beetles, and firefly beetles, like to use cracks and crevices under rocks to stay safe over the winter. Bugs that build their own structures to live in and/or raise their offspring, like mud dauber wasps and some spiders, both excellent at natural pest control, love to use rocks as an anchor. There are many ways to incorporate rocky habitats, so it's easy to pick one that works for you and your space. The most straightforward is to set aside a small space for a rock pile. Include a diversity of rock types and sizes, and assemble with a messy configuration. This helps ensure that there are air spaces in the pile and that access to ground is available under some parts of the pile. There's nothing wrong with building the pile directly on top of the ground, but you can enhance the habitat by digging a shallow hole or depression and placing your largest rocks there first. This will create a more sturdy foundation and a miniature cellar or cave-like space perfect for overwintering. If a rock pile doesn't work for your space, consider incorporating a stone wall where you need one anyway, such as a retaining wall or supporting raised flower beds. Depending on the terrain, you can also turn a small slope into a rocky embankment. You can choose the style of the stones to complement your yard's design, but be sure to use a dry construction method instead of filling gaps with mortar. Without crevices and gaps between the stones, stone walls are far less useful to wildlife. If space allows, try including some rocky features in a handful of areas to maximize the wildlife you can support. For example, you could build one in an area that often gets sun and another in a corner that is usually shaded to give animals more options depending on their needs. You can boost the quality of the habitats by incorporating native grasses and wildflowers nearby, so the bugs living in rocks have easy access to food and nesting materials. As you begin to notice the animals using your new rock feature, you may be surprised at how popular it is. Here is just some of what you might see. Mining, leafcutter, and bumblebees excavating their nests. Look out for the little heaps of soil at the base of a rock. You can wait by a nest entrance to spot the bee entering or leaving and maybe snag a photo. Ground beetles and other nighttime bugs. Check your rock piles at pre-dawn or dusk to meet the bugs that sleep during the day. Bring a flashlight or headlamp to get a good look. Some species are shiny or colorful. Jumping spiders putting on a song and dance show. Male jumping spiders sometimes use sunlit rocks as a stage for their elaborate courtship display. Be sure to move slowly so you don't disrupt the performance. Before you know it, your rock pile and stone wall might end up as your go-to spot to see cool bugs in your yard. And that's an article by Sebastian Echeverry. He's the communications specialist, science and digital media. Dr. Sebastian Alejandro Echeverry is your friendly neighborhood spider scientist, wildlife photographer, and science communicator. He joined Xerces in 2024 as a communications specialist for science and digital media and is excited to continue making bugs and bug conservation more accessible, inclusive, and joyful for everyone. And now I'll move on to the next part of the blog I thought I might read to you. That's xerces.org. Is titled, If You're Thirsty, They're Thirsty. Make a Simple Water Source to Support Pollinators. And this is from June 2025 by Deborah Seiler, S-E-I-L-E-R. Water sources are crucial for every habitat. Everyone needs water. This includes our favorite animals. Bumblebees are familiar visitors to bird baths during warm weather, but they're far from the only bugs that require access to a safe water source. Adding a water feature to your yard, garden, or balcony can be an easy way to create much-needed habitat for many fascinating animals. All sorts of bees and beetles will stop by for a sip, and birds, of course, will cool off with a bath. Some insects and amphibians will even spend most or all of their lives in a pond. For example, while dragonflies and damselflies fly around as adults, they need water to reproduce. Adults lay their eggs in or near water, and most of their life is spent underwater in the aquatic immature stage called a nymph or larva. Some bugs, like diving beetles, will happily stay in the water even as adults. Any water feature, large or small, can make a big impact. Even a humble puddle can be an important habitat, especially to butterflies who flock to the minerals and salts left on the surface of wet mud. These aquatic microhabitats form part of a larger network that supports biodiversity and provides refuges in urban landscapes. And to build a water source for wildlife, first scan your yard for places that bugs are already using as nests or shelter. These might include hollow stems, bare dirt, or brush piles of leaves or old wood. Or if you are working with a deck or balcony, simply alongside your plant pots. Then choose a sunny place nearby to provide a shallow source of water. This might be a bird bath or a bowl with stones on which bees and wasps can perch safely without slipping. To try attracting butterflies, you can add dirt to your basin and maintain a tasty mud puddle. If you want to install a bigger water feature like a pond, try to provide a sloping or graduated bank. Ponds or containers with vertical sides and no escape route run the risk of trapping and drowning wildlife like beetles, small mammals, and songbirds. With the right mix of features, your pond can become habitat for dragonflies and damselflies who provide a dazzling aerial display. There's one visitor you probably don't want at your water source, mosquitoes. Pesticide sprays are not effective here. While they might kill a few adult mosquitoes, they also harm beneficial insects in your garden. Meanwhile, adult mosquitoes will fly in from elsewhere and new larvae will hatch. Instead, for something like a bird bath, simply dump and refill the water every few days to keep it free of mosquito larvae. For permanent water bodies like ponds, add a fountain, waterfall, or a small pump to keep the water moving, since mosquitoes can only reproduce in still water. If you use an open water pump, be sure to add protective screening. Otherwise, the pumps will pull dragonfly and damselfly nymphs in and kill them. These solutions are more effective and safer for wildlife than mosquito pesticides. Once your water feature is installed, keep your eyes out for these tiny visitors. Mason bees need mud to create their nests. In drier weather, when mud is not available, they will frequently collect water in their crops and then carry it to the dirt in order to make their own mud. And paper wasps are social nesters that also collect water to make paper and cool their colonies in hot weather. And digger bees also collect water in their crops, using it to soften the ground where they dig their nests. Some digger bee species make up to 80 water-collecting trips a day when excavating their nest. Since many native bees and wasps will resort to collecting water from puddles and ditches when other sources are unavailable, they can run the risk of exposure to harmful pollutants and pesticides. Providing a shallow source of unpolluted water for bees and wasps can improve their overall chances of nesting successfully by reducing the time they need to forage, as well as their risk of exposure to pesticides. And then there's a bunch of links here, resources and further reading. I'm reading from xerces.org. The website of the Xerces Society. Well worth your time to look up this website. And about the author, Deborah Seeler joined the Xerces Society in 2021 as Director of Communications, bringing over 10 years of experience representing environmental and research institutions. She has previously led invasive species campaigns in Wisconsin, coastal science communications with California Sea Grant, and served as CCO of Illinois Extension. Deborah attended University of California, Davis and University of Wisconsin-Madison, where she studied science communications, environmental behavior, and digital media. It's a great website. I highly recommend you take a look at it, especially realizing more and more how very important insects and biodiversity and insect populations is to everything around us. And one more goodie for you from Xerces. Leave the leaves. This is a fall part of the blog, but it's important any time of year. Leaves are habitat, not trash. And this is by Justin Wheeler, Scott Hoffman Black, and Deborah Seeler, October 2025. One of the most valuable things you could do to support pollinators and other invertebrates is to provide them with the shelter they need to survive the winter. Thankfully, that's pretty easy. All you need to do is less yard work. Leaves, brush piles, fallen logs, plant stems, and flower heads might not be growing anymore, but they aren't trash. They are natural homes for wildlife. A layer of leaves is vital insulation from the cold for the many animals that hide within or in the soil beneath, like quite a few butterflies. Others, like many native bees, nest within stems, flower heads, or pieces of wood. Throwing out all of your leaves and other plant material isn't just taking away options for shelter. There's a good chance you're tossing out many animals that have already settled in. That's why this year and every year we're making the case for leaving the leaves. That's not to say you can't do any tidying up. We have tips for thoughtful autumn cleanup that still leaves space for nature. You'll also meet just a few of the many animals you'll be saving. Here are some simple ways you can help the fascinating invertebrates who may call your garden or yard home. Leaving the leaves and other plant debris doesn't have to mean sacrificing your yard to the wilderness. A thin layer of leaves is actually healthy for grass, but the leaves don't need to be left exactly where they fall. You can rake them into garden beds, around tree bases, or into other designated areas. Leaves are great for soil quality. They can suppress weeds, retain moisture, and boost nutrition. And perennial plants appreciate the extra insulation through the winter, too. Shredded leaves will not provide the same cover as leaving them whole, and you may be destroying eggs, caterpillars, and cocoons along with the leaves. Instead of a mower, use a rake or blower to keep leaves intact. If you use leaves for compost, consider creating a leaf pile and allowing it to break down naturally if space allows. Millipedes, roly-polies, and other leaf-eating bugs will help and enjoy the meal. You can also add the leaves gradually to your existing compost pile. Instead of trashing pieces of wood, stack them up. Plenty of insects seek out fallen pieces of wood to hibernate in. Piles can be as big or small as you have space for, and you can hide the pile behind a hedge or wildflowers to keep the yard looking clean. Logs and stumps can also be used as borders around a native planting area to add definition to the space. Approximately 70% of all bee species nest in the ground, frequently in yards and garden beds. If you're planning on planting a cool season cover, a winter crop, or just moving perennials around, try to keep any disturbances as limited and shallow as possible to avoid destroying native bee nests. If that's not possible, try to keep an eye out for groups of nests and place markers so that you can avoid them while working in your garden. Instead of cutting back everything at the end of summer, leave the stems of perennial plants. The seed heads will feed goldfinches and other birds, and the stems will provide shelter for many insects that nest in them. While the idea is to leave the leaves permanently for all of the benefits mentioned above, if you do decide you need to remove the leaves next season, make sure you wait to clean up the garden until late in the spring so as not to destroy all the life you've worked to protect. Your garden's wild residents benefit immensely when you practice good neighbor relations, leaving things a little messy and wild. After all, when you think of what these animals need, it is best to visualize the natural areas where they have evolved. Natural areas are not manicured, sticks and leaves are not cleaned up and removed, grasses grow long, seed heads are left for songbirds to feed on, and seeds can fall where they might germinate. Of course, this can be a hard pill to swallow. It may be habitual, a matter of social conditioning, or a holdover of outdated gardening practices from yesteryear, but for whatever reason, we just can't seem to stop ourselves from wanting to tidy up the garden at the end of the season. Changing that starts with knowledge. So let your friends, neighbors, and social media circle know that they can also just leave the leaves. Your yard is playing an important role in the ecosystem all year round, and it's easy to find a compromise between a functional space for you and one that provides for wildlife. By simply doing fewer chores in the fall and enjoying a steaming cup of spiced cider instead, courtesy of pollinators, your garden will reap the rewards of abundant pollination, natural pest control, and food for visiting birds and wildlife next spring. So there are some of the articles in the blog on the Xerces.org website. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Let's do what we can for insects. Thank you so much for listening.